In those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. What an amazing story. Through our journey of Advent, we have seen the prophecies that said Jesus would come. We have heard how the angels have spoken. Each one has challenged a different member of this opening part. We see how Mary and Joseph were approached by the angel of the Lord to take on a task that would cost them greatly. For Mary, she was challenged to choose to give birth to the king. Now, every Jewish girl wanted this privilege. Every Jewish girl wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. But in their minds, this would have come to the spiritual leaders first, and they would have arranged for the mother of the Messiah to be exalted and celebrated, and they would have the birth in the palace. But not so for Mary. For her to say yes means that she would be scorned. She would become an outcast. She would run the risk of being stoned. She would run the risk of her marriage being torn apart and that wonderful man, Joseph, walking away. But yet she chooses to say, "Yes, I will be your servant." What about Joseph? If Joseph says yes, his standing among all the men of the city would be destroyed. He would no longer have the business that would come in. He would constantly have to put up with the crude comments and the whispers, and his life as he knew it would be changed forever. He would always have a blot of him for marrying that woman. And not only that, he would have to protect this child that was not his. He would have to protect this child and sacrifice this child and raise this child and even protect this child from the wrath of kings. But Joseph said yes. And because Joseph and Mary said yes, they did their parts brilliantly and they went on a 70-mile journey that ended in Bethlehem. But in this opening statement, there was also another player. His name was Caesar Augustus. Now, he didn't have an angelic vision. He just made a decree. He unwittingly, unknowingly fulfilled the plan of God. You see, when he made the decree, he thought he was making the decree as the king of the world. But his decision was in fact in accordance to the King of Kings' will. It was in accordance to the sovereignty of God. And throughout this passage, we see how the sovereignty of God shines as a beacon. He obeyed, but he didn't obey by choice. He had no choice. There's another person. The person who gave them that stable, that more than likely a cave that night. To them, they didn't know who this Mary and Joseph was. They didn't know who Mary was carrying. But something in the heart of that innkeeper said, "You can have the stable." To the innkeeper, they were simply another group of weary travelers. But they chose to give. There's one more person in this story. And you would say, this one doesn't have a choice. But Scripture tells us that Jesus chose. He chose to be born. And in fact, in Philippians 2, it puts it this way. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, get this, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. This same Jesus chose to obey. He obeys his Father. He is born on this earth to die so that man might live under his He was born under the shadow of the cross. He did come to this earth, as the hymn says, new life to give. He will live a life of complete obedience, and when the time comes, he will pray, not my will, but yours be done. He too obeyed. Jesus is born. He is born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, fulfilling all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He was born when God's timing was right, not by accident, but according to his perfect sovereign will. This story shows four people. Two chose to submit to the plan of God. Two submitted to God's plan without even knowing. My friends, today as we prepare for Christmas, as you hear the message of Jesus has come, the King is here, will you choose to be obedient to him? Will you choose this day to have him be the King of your life? Will you choose this Christmas season to prepare him room? Now, the shepherds were the ultimate common man. They were the people that God loved to come to. They were average. They were normal. They were the ones God had chosen. And on that night that they chose, on that night that they came, the angels overwhelmed common man. You see, they had never seen an angel of power and glory and majesty. They had never seen that. And so they did exactly what John did in the book of Revelation. They began to quake. They were consumed with fear. And so a message came out. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Today you may be here and you're living in fear. You're living in a world with fear-filled events. And God's message for you today is the same as the shepherds so long ago. Fear not. Why? Because I bring you good news of great joy. The angel shouts a message that has rang for the last 2,000 years. Our joy is in the fact that the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, has been born. Not only the Christ, but also our Savior and our Master. Notice the response from the heavenly host. This good news, the Savior has been born, demands a response. And so they began to sing, not just glory to God, but it's glory to God in the highest. And the words fail us because it means the most ultimate, greatest glory possible. And then this incredible phrase, and on earth, peace. And on earth, peace. Not peace between men, but peace between God and man. It is a signal that this war is coming to an end, that the gap between God and man will be bridged by this Messiah, by this Savior, by this Anointed One, by this Lord. And it was a message that said, you will have peace because of a baby born in Bethlehem. Now notice also this message of joy that these angels bring are not just for the shepherds. It's not just for Israel. It's for all people. He says, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. This good news, this joy bringing truth for all. It's for you. It's for me. The question is, do you accept this message? Do you accept this message of joy? For a message like this has to be embraced. It has to be accepted. It has to be taken in. For if you don't grab this message, you won't have joy. I was a children's pastor in California, and it was my very first vacation Bible school at this church. And I remember watching the person in charge of our snack running out just excited, and she's screaming, the liver is here! The liver is here! The liver is here! And I saw children starting to jump up and down going, the liver is here! The liver is here! And I thought, I'm in a strange place. Where children want liver for snack at vacation Bible school. And then she added one phrase. Marcus's liver is here. Marcus was one of my little guys. And he had been fighting for his life. And he needed a liver. And someone sacrificed and gave him a liver that would be transplanted into his body and bring him life. And so when I understood and accepted the message, I too was shouting, the liver is here! And I did my happy dance. The joy. The joy. Friends, you may be here today, and the message of Christmas is old hat. You've heard it time and time again. And you don't get the joy. You don't get the excitement. The key to understanding this is found in the angels' message as well. They said, for unto you. Friends, this message is for you. Your Savior. Your Messiah, your Christ, your Lord is here. The one who can save you from your sins. The one who can restore the relationship between God and you. The one who wants to take you and transplant his life into you. He is born for you. He will live a sinless life. He will die on a cross to pay for your sin. He will raise from the dead to give life to any who trust in him. Today, will you turn to him? Will you embrace him? Will you have him as your King, your Christ, your Savior, your Lord, your Messiah? And if you do, you can join in and sing the song of the angels. You can sing their song. Why these shepherds? Why these? I mean, yes, they're the common man, and yes, for many in society, they were the lowest rung, but why these shepherds? Well, I think the answer is found also in the angel's message. For you see, these shepherds were the shepherds around the area of Bethlehem. Their job was to raise sheep that would be used for the services of the temple. They had to raise sheep without blemish or spot. And in fact, around that countryside, around that area, they would use the caves and the stables, and they would make them ritually clean. In fact, these shepherds were trained as priests so that they could produce the right kind of sheep. And so they give a statement there. The angel says, and you will find the babe. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Now this would be strange, for babies didn't go in the manger except the firstborn lamb, which would become the Passover lamb. And in order to keep that beautiful lamb from having any blemish, the shepherds would wrap that lamb in swaddling cloth. And they would often lay them in the manger. So you can imagine, here is Mary's firstborn, wrapped in the swaddling cloth, laying in the ritually pure manger in this one place. And so these shepherds, they hear this message, and what do they have to do? They have to act. They rush. They are passionate. And they come to find the baby just as it was said. You see, when they were given the message, they had to act. Friends, the Christmas story for some of us has lost its beauty. It's lost its grandeur. And I think it's because we've chosen to be different than the shepherds. For you see, the shepherds had to act, and they came, and so when they heard the message, they ran to Bethlehem. When we hear the message, we stop and sit. They had to search out and seek out the one whom the angels sang. They made haste. They sought with passion. They would allow nothing to stop them from reaching their goal. Friends, are you seeking this Christ? Are you searching for the one the angels have sung about? Are you so hungry this Christmas to see the Christ that you will make haste to find him? You say, well, Pastor Greg, how will I know if I find him? Notice what happened to the shepherds. Their actions lead to worship. They glorified God. They sang his praises. Will you worship the Lord? Will you bow your knee to him today and glorify God for this precious gift? But notice what happens when you find him and you worship. Your worship then changes your heart. It brings a heart that can't be silent. They told Mary and Joseph, they told everyone they came in contact with that Jesus was born. They couldn't be silent. They had to sing it. They had to tell it. They had to shout it. So this Christmas, will you seek the Christ child? Will you worship the Christ? And will you go and shout and sing the goodness of Jesus to this world? Will you shout it from the mountaintops?